That was fantastic. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for the time, effort, and practice ahead of that, and then for honoring the Lord in that message today. Let's everyone stand together just real quickly, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 29. May I say once again, I'm so honored to be a small extension of Pastor Allen's purpose for this meeting, for just a few minutes with you. But thank you for coming and participating in today's helpful workshop. All of it was so helpful and encouraging to us. We're certainly glad to have a few of our folks from First Baptist here. I sure love them. Very thankful that we can be together for a few minutes. I also want to thank all the pastors who've chosen to come. If your pastor could not make it, I hope you will go out of your way to express appreciation. There's just two positions open in Christianity. One is to pastor a New Testament church for God. The other position is to help that pastor or pastor that New Testament church for God. Either pastor or help your pastor. And you want to be used of God in a special way to do that. And I want to encourage you to make every effort to encourage your church. Everybody needs a good church, and every good church needs a good you and a good me. And we want to have a good church because we cannot glorify God appropriately unless we do. God uses His Word, His Spirit, and His body to get people the gospel and to help people grow in the Lord. And, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go home to be married. But it makes for a better relationship with your spouse if you'll show up. And you want to be faithful to the house of God. And thank you for being probably preaching to the choir here. But I want to encourage you to continue in that. Heard a guy say, I've got so much to say today, I don't know where to start. And a little kid in the back said, start somewhere toward the end. And after today, you're saying, Pastor, I hope you'll keep up with that little kid and start somewhere toward the end and share just a few thoughts today. Jeremiah 29, if you would please, begin in verse number 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which are carried away captives, to the priest, to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. If you don't mind, skip down to verse number 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Would you read verse 5 and 6 with me, if you would, please? Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take ye wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters. Verse number 7 says, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets, the diviners, in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Verse number 10, 11, read it with me, would you please? And thus saith the Lord, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Father, I thank you for the privilege to share in this special meeting. Thank you for these servants of Christ and really that represent multitudes already and many more who could hear the gospel. Help us to be faithful in the place of your choosing. Help us, Lord, to glorify you. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all in the glory for the glory of God. We pray this would be the case. From this meeting, I pray you would be glorified in my own life and the life of my colleagues here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Jeremiah, I think word for word, is the longest book in our Old Testament. Psalms has more segments or 150 chapters or psalms, but Jeremiah, word for word, is one of the longest books. It's a unique man, and he was ordained by God to serve him even before he was born. I imagine it was his choice as well to follow the will of God, but it was God's plan to use him in a special way, and it's God's plan to use you and use me in the work that God has for us. But he would have a difficult job. He was a prophet, and prophets oftentimes are martyred, persecuted. And that was the case with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he was asked by the Lord not to marry. He said, Jeremiah, I'd like for you to be a single servant. I don't want you to take a wife. I love being married. I'm very thankful that God gave me my wife, Linda, to serve the Lord with. But Jeremiah did not have that privilege. He would not have children. He would be a single servant of the Lord. And by the way, I don't think anybody deserves more honor than those men and women who walk alone with the Lord in our churches. I do appreciate you. I'm thankful that for each of you, I think that oftentimes our senior servants, our single servants of God, are some of the most devoted, hardworking, giving people in our churches, and we should always salute them and appreciate them and not forget them in their role for God. Well, that was Jeremiah. Also was Paul. It also was John the Beloved, probably never got married. And single servants were all through the Bible. Jeremiah was one of them. But Jeremiah had the unfortunate responsibility to preach to Judah just prior to them going into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was in the wings and was a servant of God to bring affliction to the tribe in the south and to the kingdom in the south. He would do it in three different times. The first time he would come into the city, he would take some of the choice young men. And that was when he took Daniel and Azariah and Mishael and Hananiah or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he took them and marched them from Jerusalem to Baghdad or to Babylon. And when they got there, they realized real quickly they had a real good thing going. These kids were sharp. They were disciplined. They had character. They had a constitution that was very attractive, and they had skill sets. And it wasn't long before Nebuchadnezzar said, let's go back and get some more of them. We can weaken Jerusalem and Israel, and we can strengthen Babylon. On the second time, he went back to get them. And of course, those young men, purpose in their heart, they would not defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. They lived up to what God had put in their heart as young men. They took away from them their ability to be married and have children. They made them eunuchs. They changed their tongue. They changed their culture. They changed their language. But they still stayed firm to the Lord. And boy, would to God we had more people like that today. I hope that you and I will be that kind of people that will not blend in, but will stand out for the Lord Jesus. But he would go back and get more, 10,000 more. But this time, he would focus on the carpenters and the iron workers, the skill sets and the artist trades. He would get the trade guys to come, and he marched them and then also took the king and the queen. And now, Jeremiah told them, this is going to happen. If you don't turn, we're going to have real problems here. And of course, God would be collecting for the 490 years in which they had ignored the Sabbath and collecting those 70 years. They went, and then the third time he would come back, he would pillage Jerusalem, and there would be all kinds of devastation and challenges that would take place, and they would steal the gold, the silver, and the ornaments out of the temple and destroy it. It was a bad situation. Jeremiah prophesied it and lived to see it happen. So it was a difficult, difficult life. But we're looking here in chapter 29, and this is a story of the 10,000 that were taken from Israel to Babylon. When they got there, they got a bad preacher. His name was Hananiah, and he had ideas different than God had. He said he was from the Lord, but basically he told them, he goes, guys, you're not going to be here long. And they were miserable because over in Israel, they had great freedom and liberty. They could have a party if they wanted to. They could welcome their friends. They could go to the temple at will. They could listen to their preacher and enjoy. They were making money over here in the carpenter trades and the ironworking trades, and they had great liberty. Now they have been marched involuntarily the 500 miles to Baghdad or to Babylon, and now they're miserable. They're slaves for all practical purposes. They're working just to keep a roof over their head and food in their bellies. Over here, they had lots of freedom. Over here, they have very little freedom. Life is no longer as good as it was. It wasn't what they wanted. They did not like what they had. It was frustrating them. It was a challenging season in their life. And they had a preacher that told them, look, you're just going to be here for a few days. Just don't worry about it. Just goof around, protest, demonstrate, be lazy at work. Because you don't have to stay here very long. You're going to get to go home. And under the inspiration of God, Jeremiah was told by the Lord to sit down and write a letter. And I want you to write a letter from me. And I want you to tell them how I feel about what's going on. And God included the letter today that we just now read. He would tell them his instruction and his expectation and what they needed to do. Because they're frustrated. Things are not the way they would like them to be. And he gave them some advice. He told them, build a house. Dwell in your house. Plant a garden. He told them to eat the fruit of their garden. He told them to have children. Let your kids have kids and have grandchildren and increase in the land of Babylon. He told them to seek peace for the city. Well, that peace in Jerusalem was one thing. Peace in Babylon, that didn't resonate with them. He told them that he wanted to make sure they were careful who they listened to. The guys that are causing dreams and think differently, they're not for me. And he told them, you can trust me. Because I know the thoughts I think about you, they're good and not evil to bring you to an expected end. He challenged them with that letter. But I want to make the application in the few minutes we're together. Here's what I've observed about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a child of God. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life. But many seasons of my life have not been easy seasons. Matter of fact, most seasons of my life, everything hasn't been exactly like I wish it were. Some of you could say, Pastor, I wish I didn't have that divorce in my background. I wish my parents would have stayed together. I wish I had just a little more money, a better job. I wish I had the respect of my children. I wish I had more talent, more skill sets to do what I feel like God wants me to do. Maybe some of you would say, I wish we didn't have debt that just weighs us down. I wish we had a parking lot. I wish it was paved. I wish that we could do something with our building. There's lots of things that happen in life that you just wish were different. I wish my loved one hadn't passed away. I wish it wasn't so lonely being me. I wish things were different in how I live now. And you know, the truth of the matter is, most of my days have been good days of my life, but very few have been without a little bit of, I wish I had this. I wish things were like this. Wish I had kids, or wish my children were living for the Lord. I mean, you could just go down the list. Everybody has those things. When life isn't exactly like you would like it to be, when two and two have not made four, and it's hard to connect the dots. You're thankful you're going to heaven. You're thankful that you love the Lord. You're thankful that God lets you serve in whatever capacity, but you know that you could do better if. You feel like it could be better. Well, I want to talk to you just for a few moments about how we can glorify God in seasons of limitations. When things are not the way I like them to be. I thought by now I would be married. I thought by now I would be at this position, or the church would have grown to this situation, or my class would be prospering more, or my bus route would have more people, or whatever. How can we still glorify God when things are not the way we would like them? I think that is the situation. These captives have really gone from a good situation to a very hard situation. And yet God had a message for them. I'd like to ask you to consider the message that God had for them and make it applicable to us. What do we do, and how can we glorify God when things are not the way we'd like them to be? Just give it to you quickly. Number one, build a house. Would you look at verse number 5, you would please, and read those three words with me. On the first words, ready? Everyone together, build ye houses. Hey, that was the last thing on their mind. Are you kidding me? I don't want to stay here. This is not where I want to build a house. Let me stay in the Residence Inn. Let me stay in the Motel 6. No, a tent. But don't ask me to build a house in this miserable place. But that's what he gave him to do. He said, number one, build a house. Now, I don't know how exactly you would translate that, but here's my suggestion. Settle in. Get used to it. This is your new normal. You didn't bring yourself here. It was not your idea. This is not what you dreamed about. But this is where you are. Now build a house here. Accept it. Many Christians spend their whole life trying to glorify God, fighting their situation, their circumstances, complaining about it, frustrated by it, letting everybody know there's stuff out there. And God says, build a house here. This is where you are. You didn't like it. It wasn't your idea. This is what your expectation. Now, you may have contributed to some of the complications, and maybe it wasn't you, it was someone else. But here's where we are. Build a house. Settle in. This is our new normal. This is where you are. You can't be somewhere else. You can't go back to Israel. You're in Babylon. This is not the where we're comfortable. Build a house. I think it's a mentality a little bit. I want to encourage you. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better friend, a better son, a better daughter, a better servant of God if you'll get into a mode to say, okay, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I like. Some of you live in rural settings and you're always thinking about living in the urban setting. Some of you live in urban settings and you're thinking about one day I want to be out, I want to have this and this. But right now, you're supposed to build a house where you are. Number two, he says, dwell in your house. Build ye houses and dwell in them. And I think this has an element of contentment, of just being content. This is where God has me. I'll build a house and I'm going to live here and I'm not going to whine anymore. I'm done with that. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to dwell here. Remember the little lady who built the little prophet's chamber for her prophet that came through? One day, Elisha's laying in bed there and he says to his assistant, he said, you know, have we ever done anything for this lady? What does she want? What can we do for her? What can I ask the Lord to do for her? She's been so good to us. We've come through here many times, and every time the bed is made, the table and chairs are there, there's a new candle there. She's always so gracious to us. Have we done anything for her? He says, no. He said, go find out what she would like. And you know, he went over to her and he said, you know what? We want to help you, and the man of God wants to send it for you. What can we do for you? And you know what she said? I dwell among my people. You know, she said, I'm good. No doubt she could have had a wish list a mile long and complained and put her stuff out there on Facebook. But you know what she did? She just said, I dwell among my people. I'm good. Thank you, though. Now, the servant remembered that she said, now, she said she dwells among her people. She's content. But I think she'd like a boy, a son. They haven't had kids. Is that something you could do for them? And that's what happened. But her response said, I've just decided I'm going to build a house. And I'm going to live here contentedly. I'm going to embrace what God has given me, even though I'm frustrated. Even though it's not what I dreamed to have happen. I'm going to glorify God here because I'm going to build a house. I'm going to live here contentedly. I'm going to dwell in my house. The next thing he says in verse number 5 was, plant ye gardens. Now, I'm not much of a gardener. My mother has a green thumb. How many of you are gardeners? God, would you raise your hand? Anybody like gardeners? God bless you. The reason I'm really not a gardener is because it's W-O-R-K. That's why. It's just easier to go to the grocery store. Let somebody else do the gardening. But you know what he's telling him to do? He said, look, build a house, dwell there, and then go to work. Plow your field. The Bible says there's much food in the tillage of the poor. If everybody just takes what God's put them to do, they can glorify God if they'll just do what they're supposed to do in their place. You know, work is not a curse. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh, and no man can work. Jesus said, I work, my Father works. God gave Adam responsibility before there was ever sin to dress and keep a garden, to work. Work is a blessing. And oftentimes people look at people and they say, oh, they're so lucky. Can I just tell you something? Sometimes the harder you work, the luckier you get. Work is a blessing. But it plow your field. What is it you can do? I remember one time listening to a frustrated pastor. He said, man, I can't pastor like this. I said, well, so your situation keeps you from winning someone to Christ and discipling converts and preparing men? No, I mean all. And he began to tell me, so I said, no, look, go to work. Go to work where you are and work hard and God's going to bless. Plant a garden. Planting a garden means plowing fields. It means putting seed in the ground. It means watering, weeding, waiting. But all of us can do that. And people good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. A man with an excuse is oftentimes a poor excuse for a man. But you and I, we have to be careful, especially when we're in frustrating circumstances, seasons of limitation. We can say, well, God cannot be glorified here. I think he can. If we'll build a house, we'll live there contentedly. Don't be a discontented person. I would say plant a garden. The next thing in chapter 29, verse 5, it says, and eat the fruit of your garden. He said, plant a garden and eat the fruit of your garden. Well, what is the factor between planting a garden and eating the fruit of your garden? You say it's time, right? It's time. He said, put your time in. Plant your garden, work hard, and then one day sit at the table and enjoy a tomato that you planted back in June, but you get to eat in August. Corn that you planted in April and you get to enjoy in September. He said, stay there long enough and don't quit. Don't quit. Plow your field and do what God wants you to do. You can still do what God wants you to do. There can be extenuating circumstances. There can be adversarial problems. There can be many difficulties that come from within and without. I think as a pastor, one of my biggest challenges is inadequacy. I just feel like, good night. If they can get a good pastor at First Baptist Hammond, this thing could take off, man. They can just get someone who knows what they're doing. You feel like getting beat up thinking, you know, this is not right. Here they... You know, University of Indiana can have a Bloomington, can have 60,000 people coming for a baseball or football game. The White Sox, second worst record in baseball. And 40,000 people went to watch him last night. Go figure. Paid all kinds of ungodly amount of money, and then beyond that, party-hardied and all that stuff. And it's an act of Congress to get 40 people in church on Sunday morning. For free. Hey, good night. Something's wrong here. But you know, he said, you just plant a garden and you stay. And you keep working. You keep weeding. You keep watering. You keep planting. You keep talking. You keep winning souls. You keep on running that bus. You keep on visiting your Sunday school class. You know what's going to happen? You're going to sit back and you'll say, boy, the fruit of doing this has been pretty good. Or you can wonder all your life, boy, I wish I would have. Wish I would have, or I'm glad I did. You can enjoy the fruit of your garden. Sometimes marriages, they could have made it if someone would have just decided to keep on planting the garden. Keep on working through the hard times. Praying our way through it. Not stopping. Watching God work through the difficult days of June, July, and August when rain is not coming, where the ground is dry, and you're thinking, am I going to lose this thing? And yet you see God give a rain and help and strength. I want to encourage you, don't stop. The poet said, if you strike a thorn or a rose, keep going. If it hails or if it snows, well, keep going. There's no fish on your line. Just bait your hook and keep it trying, keep it going. The weather kills your crop. Keep going. Though it worked, it's worked to reach the top. Keep going. Suppose you're out of every dime. Well, getting broke ain't no crime. Just tell the world you're doing fine and keep going. Don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when your road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care presses you down a bit, rest, sir. Rest, ma'am, if you must, but don't quit. Success may be failure turned inside out with the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and we can never tell how close we are. Success may be near to us when it seems like it's so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong. We mustn't quit. How can we glorify God when we're stinking miserable? When we're frustrated and limited? And there's so many things that are going against us. Build a house. Accept that it's not good right now, but you can still work. You can still be content. You can still work through your problems and you can stay. Then he says, while you're there in a frustrated state, still have babies, have children. So let your kids have kids and have children. So I think that's an application today. Let's go soul winning. Let's keep witnessing. Let's keep having a burden for the lost. Pray that God would use you to get one person the gospel of Christ. And someone would get saved between maybe now and the end of the year. God, give me one. One person that could I can witness every day and try to every day. And I can give out gospel tracts. Lord, give me one that I could win and someone else I could disciple. You've got 168 hours of our week. Somebody would love to sit with you for 1 hour. Let you invest in them and love them. You could find them. They're out there. Someone love your attention, your time, with a cup of coffee and a discipleship lesson. Somebody could be helped by that. Hey, have spiritual children. Even, you know, the Bible, Paul told Timothy, hey, listen, I want you to preach the word. Be instant and listen, tell you something. When you're out of season, when it's not a good time for you, it can still be a good time for somebody. When your car breaks down, it's a bad time for you, but it could be a good time for the tow truck driver. He could get saved. Be a good time. I was thinking about the radio broadcast today, and a college boy, one day, his truck broke down, his car broke down, and he had to call the tow truck. The tow truck driver picked him up, hooked up his car, said, we're going to take it. I said, just take it to the college. He said, the poor little guy was, he's the college student about crying. He just thought, I'm trying to serve God and everything, you know, and it's not going good. And he pulled in there and he said, look, you got a bad day. You pick the radio station. And I will listen to it on the way to take you to where you want your car to go. So he turns it to 90.5, the key. And the tow truck driver is the last thing in the world he probably wanted to do, but he just kept it on there for 2 years. One day I got an email from him. He said, look, I've been listening to your radio station for 2 years. You keep saying you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I don't know. Would you want to talk? I said, absolutely. I met him at the Dunkin' Donuts in 173rd in Calumet and got to share the gospel with him. Next day he got baptized. Told me about his girlfriend and his kids. And he said, well, my girlfriend, she's meaner than a snake, man. He says, she's terrible. Said, well, we'll go see her. He goes, she's going to cuss you. I said, well, let's go do it. Linda and I bought her a Bible and bought him a Bible and went out and saw him. And she sat around she did cuss, not at me, but she just cussed a lot. So we sat around in the lawn chair and gave her the Bible. And a few months later, she got saved. Then her daughters got saved. Then I did their wedding. All was a bad day for a college kid. It was a good day for Jesus. You can still have children when you're going through a difficult time. You can still win the lost. He said, I want you to have kids. I want you to have kids in this, that you can be increased and not diminished in a time of frustration. Then he says, seek the peace of the city and pray for it. Listen, when you're frustrated, sometimes hurting people hurt people. Bring peace to your setting. When you're frustrated, maybe it's your church, maybe it's your situation, maybe it's your home, he said, seek the peace of your city. They liked hearing seek the peace of Jerusalem, not the peace of Babylon. That hit them sideways. But he said, I want you to seek the peace because in the peace of your city, you'll have peace. So you need to be a blessing to your community. You need to be a blessing to the people around your neighbors. Quit complaining about where you are. Sometimes I've seen missionaries And most of them are unbelievable. But occasionally I found a cankered missionary.
I hate this country. Stupid, man. People are dumb here.
I want to say, you know what? Get yourself back on an airplane and go back home and complain in West Virginia. Don't come over here to this country. You're not going to win the people complaining and cursing the system. Seek the peace of the city. If God brought you here, be happy here. And seek the peace. Don't, because in the peace of your surroundings, you can have peace. Don't be a drama mama. Make sure that you bring blessing to that. And then he says, be careful who you listen to. In frustrating moments and hurtful moments and when things are not good for you, oftentimes we get extremely curious and we'll listen to anybody. We'll go on a blog. We'll go to YouTube. We'll try to find somebody giving us something beyond the Word of God, beyond the Spirit of God, beyond the pastor that loves you. We'll try to find some help someplace else. He said, listen, be careful. The people you're listening to, they're making you think things that are not going to happen. They're making you imagine success where there's no success. It's a mirage. There's no water there. So be careful who you listen to. And then the last thing he told him is, he said, God said this, I know the thoughts I think about you. They're good and they're not evil to bring you to an expected end. Keep trusting the Lord. Trusting. God's got an end, and it's good end. If we just back up here, be careful who we listen to. We'll make sure that we seek peace and pray for the peace of our city. We'll make sure that we're careful to have children and to win and disciple people. Even when things are bad and frustrating for us, we won't quit. We'll enjoy the fruit of our labors. We'll work hard. And even through difficult times, and even through those June, July, and where we don't have any crops coming in, we're still going to be faithful in the barren times. We're going to live contentedly and dwell in our house and build a house. I think those are ways we can glorify God. Now, I don't know if that shoe fits for you, but if it fits for you, put it on. If it's in your house, in your ministry, if things are not the way you'd like them to be, we can still bring glory to God if we'll build a house. We'll accept our situation. We'll be content with what God's given us. We'll keep on working. We'll keep on waiting. We'll keep on trusting. We're not going to quit. We're going to tell the gospel of Christ. We're going to disciple converts. We're going to make peace in the difficult situation that we're in. And we're going to keep on trusting the Lord because we know He thinks about us. Now, I remember years ago dating Linda, and I wasn't telling her I loved her. That was what it is. I was slow. I was very slow in my situation, or at least slow compared to what Linda wanted. She wanted me to say, I love you. And I was ready, but I just felt like, well, you know, I got 2.5 years. I graduated. I want to make sure I pace this thing out a little bit. So she had the nerve to ask my good friend, does John even like me? You know, like that. You know, like my friend said, man, you got issues, man. She didn't know if you like her or not. I said, what? I know dates. I've spent money. I think she's the best. I tell her how, you know, yeah, you're really failing, John. She didn't even know you like her. You know? And I said, oh, man. I said, what do you think I should do? He said, tell her you love her, man. I said, I don't want to tell. I'm only going to tell one person that, one girl. I'm not going to tell a bunch of girls that. I just want one girl to know that for me. So I was all fickled. I didn't know what to do. I started asking people for advice. You know, the Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. What I found out in a multitude of counselors is also confusion. if you ask too many people, you get really squirrely, you know. And I asked one guy, I remember I was just, you know, he said, son, it was an older teacher at the college. I said, well, how do you know if you're really in love with a girl? I said, I'm telling you, son, right now. Are you ready to die for her? I said, I'm 19 years old. No, I don't want to die for her. That was my thought. When you're ready to die for her, you know you love her. And I was like, oh, no. You know, I walked down the hallway thinking, this is out of control. Here I went from being, thinking I was in love to a martyr, you know. But at the end of the day, here's what I figured out. I couldn't get Linda off my mind. I was thinking about her all the time. At work, In church, Ed, that was easy to think about something else. In my classes, at breakfast, at lunch, in the ball field, in the gym, I'm looking for Linda. She must be tired right now. She's been running through my mind all morning. I was thinking about her all the time. And I thought to myself, that's it. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. I know the thoughts I think for you. He loves you. And he can help us through these seasons of limitations. And we can glorify him. You look around, you find anybody that's been used of God, you'll find there's lots of seasons where it's really been hard. But they just kept on going, doing these things, and God has been glorified, and we can do the same thing. Let's bow our heads, can we? Thank you for listening. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, Pastor, I believe I can resonate with the information given today in Jeremiah 29. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Thank you. May put your hands down. If it is that you say, Pastor, that's something I need to do, I need to apply. Maybe it is just accept what your situation is. Maybe it's contentment. You need a revival of it. Maybe it's back to the drawing board of work and plowing and planting. Maybe it's staying when you want to quit. Maybe it's soul winning more fervently and being more faithful to disciple converts. Maybe it is just being peaceful and spreading peace. Maybe it's just saying, God, I got to trust you that you will bring us to an expected end. I think we'll just do it this way. Why don't you take a few moments? Would you give God the courtesy of a response? If God's spoken to you, would you speak back to him? Right now, in the privacy of your heart, would you say, God, please help me build a house. Help me to be content. Help me to stay busy working, plowing when it seems like harvest is so far in the future. Give me patience to keep on planting and seeding and weeding and watering what you've given me, my little piece of property. God, make me fruitful and soul winning. Help me to be a peaceful person. Help me careful who I listen to. Help me to trust you. If God speaks to you, speak back to him. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of being with brothers and sisters. Bless them, I pray. Encourage them. All of us are important to you. Lord, you think about us. Now I pray that you would please apply these truths, not only the ones we learned here in this session, but the workshops, the thoughts that you gave us, the servants of Christ that spoke. I pray you'd work in every life, in every heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Allen, you come, would you?